Okay, I think we're starting. Good evening. This is a meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board. The time is 8:50 p.m. Eastern Time, August 31st, 2020. I'm Alex Steinberg, the chair of the committee. I'm convening the meeting, and I'd like to ask for a volunteer to take the call. Okay, I don't see a volunteer. I'll do it myself. This is in particular order. Tom Voorhees.
Tom's here.
Lawrence Reyes. Lawrence, are you there?
Yeah, I was muted. I'm here, yeah.
Okay. Wayne Luck.
Present.
Okay.
Present.
Heather Gray. Heather, are you there? Okay.
You're breaking, Alex, you're breaking up.
I am.
You are.
Okay. I might have to call back.
Did you acknowledge Dwayne Lark present?
Yes.
I didn't hear it.
The protocol, I might be back on another line. Let's see. Robin Collier. I think he's going to make it tonight. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Okay. Jim Suckert. Jim, are you there?
Here. Yeah, Alex, you are breaking up terribly. And I just want to note that before you got on the stream, you sounded good. And as soon as the second you hit the stream, as you started to break up, I don't know how it could be related, but sequences.
It was bad already, James.
Yep.
Pardon me?
It was bad already.
Oh, it wasn't bad for me, so it was just a coincidence on this end.
Okay. I will definitely call in on another line right at the roll call. That's Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Okay. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Lydia Brazun.
Here.
And Alex Steinberg, that's me, I'm here. We have a quorum. And would somebody like to take over and go through the vote on the draft agenda while I get myself situated on another line? Anybody want to volunteer to do that? I sent out a draft agenda.
I haven't seen the draft agenda, Alex. If I see it, I would more than be happy to pitch it for you.
Okay. Anybody else? Volunteer?
I'll read it out.
Okay. Can you read it out and see, and go through, take a vote and all that, see if there's anybody wants to add anything, change something. I'll be back on in about a minute or two.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Can everybody hear me clearly? Everybody answer once.
Yeah.
Okay. So the committee meeting August 31, 2020, the Strategic Planning Committee has convened meeting and roll call 2 minutes. I guess we've done that. Approve agenda 5 minutes. Approve minutes 2 minutes. Continuation of discussion on underwriting, postponed till this meeting, 30 minutes. Discussion of strategic plan, 45 minutes. New business, 5 minutes. Adjourn at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That is the agenda as put out by Alex. At 7:30. Anybody want to...
I'm sorry, Lyndon, if I could just add to Sada, can you send that to the committee? Because I didn't get it in neither of my emails.
Please. Okay, I'll see.
Hi, this is Alex. I'm back.
That's much better, Alex.
Good.
Okay. So how far did we get with the draft agenda?
I read it. That was it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's something.
I haven't gotten it. Maybe Grace or Linda can send it back out to everybody.
Okay.
I just hit reply all. Hopefully that is going to get it to you.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so do we have any amendments or anything? Well, do we have a motion to approve the draft agenda first?
I move that we approve the draft agenda.
Okay, are there any amendments or any objections or anything? Okay, then seeing none, the draft agenda is approved. Okay, the first item is minutes. I don't actually have any minutes. I don't recall who was doing minutes at the last meeting. Speaking of which, does somebody want to volunteer to take notes for this meeting? Anyone? Okay, we'll proceed. The next item is a continuation of discussion on underwriting. We had that discussion was postponed until this meeting, or the last meeting. So who would like to begin the discussion?
This is Grace.
Grace.
I'd like to suggest that we postpone consideration of underwriting for a month or two because we have such pressing financial issues and we really need to start making a strategic plan, and I don't think that any underwriting will be possible till restaurants and bars and theaters and events and that kind of thing are up and running again. So I think that that's mainly the type of underwriting that most stations would want to pursue. And so I don't think that I think that if this discussion should be continued, but that it should be postponed until we grapple with our pending financial problem, shortfalls.
Dwayne to the stack.
Lawrence to the stack.
Okay, so we have a motion to postpone. So Dwayne, then Lawrence. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay. Well, the suggestion of postponing it is inconsistent with getting our finances in order. And the suggestion that it wouldn't matter because some of us live in a vacuum. The whole country is a shutdown. Let's just understand that. If you don't support it, that's one thing. Make your argument for it. But it seems to me that it's been postponed for years. And to continue to postpone it as a mechanism to not have it addressed, what I'd like to see is an open, fair discussion, preferably a process by which something is submitted in writing, which is the big thing, and if you don't discuss it, you'll never get there. But to suggest that, say, for instance, KPFT Houston, I can't speak for California, and I don't want anyone to speak for the Houston market. I think I can do that fairly well. Restaurants are open. We're not limited to restaurants. That's your vision, but it's not a shared vision in terms of the myriad of community business owners that listen to KPFT and perhaps share the vision of community radio that would be interested in supporting it. So the reasoning is not qualifiable, and it's not consistent with helping getting money into the stations and the foundations. But again, if you're against it, fundamentally against it, as one or two have said, but don't use as a red herring that the reason we shouldn't do it is because we need to get our finances in order, because that's just inconsistent talk. It doesn't make sense. We're bringing revenue in with this effort. If you want to make sure the effort is bona fide and solidified in terms of no undue influence, no conflict of interest, that's one thing. But to just simply say, let's throw it down the road further and not discuss it, I think that's a non-starter. We've been doing it for years.
Okay. Laura?
Yeah, thank you. So I in agreement. I think this is an elephant that we keep trying to get around, and it's really crowding the room. And I believe that, you know, there have been some proposals. I know Alex, you had a proposal, and Dwayne had a proposal, and we have scheduled time to discuss this, and to not discuss this using, you know, local businesses and restaurants and all of that stuff, it doesn't mean that just because some of the countries shut down and because a lot of those businesses are not operable right now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan. Again, you know, I always say what my big brother always told me, failing to plan is planning to fail. And in this case, we need to really come up with some kind of matrix or some kind of formula in regards to while underwriting this. I know that there's a proposal, but even in that proposal that was sent out about a half an hour ago, that proposal is kind of vague, and I have some input for that. So I believe that in addition to the points in the proposal that Grace sent out, we need to really take a look at underwriting and start addressing it any way that we can. And I think to postpone this would be to sort of kick the can down the road another month or two. Well, we have already been discussing it. We know that some of us stand, and for some this is controversial, and for some it's a non-starter. But we really need to address this and come up with some kind of formula, whether we're going to really take a look at considering underwriting, or if we're not, you know, I just think we need to take a position in one way or another. And there's been a couple of proposals already that we could tweak or we could modify to address the needs of the network. Because to not do that, I think it's somewhat irresponsible of us as a committee. Thank you.
Anybody else want to speak on this?
I'll say something. I'm in favor also of postponing the discussion, not because I don't think we should ever have it, but I think we have some much bigger priorities right now. And this is really distracting us from those bigger priorities. Those bigger priorities are namely the serious, serious cash flow problem we're facing at some of our stations, and the imminent fact that we have a loan to pay back in a little over 6 months. And Now, this committee's main job is to work out a strategic plan that includes planning for the immediate, planning for the near term, midterm, and planning long term. And I just don't think we have the luxury to tweak the issues about underwriting. And I'm one of the people who originated the discussion, so maybe I'm being a little inconsistent, but I think we have to just get back to some what are the real priorities right now. Anybody else want to say?
Vanessa to the staff.
Yeah, go ahead, Vanessa. Yeah.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I think it could merit some discussion, even if the discussion was kind of even narrowly focused on whether underwriting in some form or fashion could possibly help to remedy some of the, you know, emergent financial problems. But I think it merits continuing to discuss it, even if we only give it 10 or 15 minutes. To move it along. It's not to take away from the other, you know, urgent issues, but I don't know, perhaps there's a way that a discussion about underwriting could factor into how we deal with those urgent financial issues.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'd like another bite at it.
Oh, okay. Let me just see if anybody else who hasn't spoken yet wants to speak first.
James,
okay.
Yeah, thank you. I am still concerned. I mean, I think there is some flux in the room in the consideration of this. I mean, Alex, yeah, I did think that, you know, you had written up a proposal for it. We saw in the last meeting, I got the impression that Lawrence was absolutely opposed to it at the last meeting. So it makes sense, and it's good that people can evolve in their thinking and that we can have some flexibility in our, you know, in how we're looking at things. That's good. That shows that we're paying attention. I am concerned, though, that this could hurt us in the short term more than it will help us, especially when we're in such a dire situation. And I'm referring here to the possibility of fines and penalties, whatever may be involved, if we violate the rules. And it's my understanding that we haven't, you know, done 100% on that in the past, and I'm concerned that we don't necessarily have the manpower and the ability to focus like a laser beam on even a pilot project at this moment, and I would hate to see us stumble into some hefty fines, considering all the other things, not least of which is the new bylaws proposal that we may have to deal with. I'm worried about the money. That's all. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, let me just say, I'm sorry. May I say one final thing? I'm sorry. May I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I apologize. And I want to just say that I recognize the irony that Dwayne has pointed out, that we have a potential money-making proposition here, and to say that we can't afford to make money because we have other things to worry about, when the other things we have to worry about all involve money, I get the irony of that. But I'm still concerned about our ability to do it well and to do it right so that we don't incur other difficulties. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else who has not yet spoken who want to speak on this? Okay, Dwayne, you may go again.
And can I go after Dwayne, Chair?
Well.
Yeah.
Well, Lyndon, I'd like to hear you say something on this because you've been very silent on the whole three discussions we've had on this, and given KPFT's situation, and I really believe the Mucky Duck and some other clubs and music entities that our music shows bring the largest of most of our money, I think they've benefited without really having to pay up. when it comes to these kinds of concepts. Now, I'd like to hear from you, Linda. But more importantly, I think it's more than the word games used. I find it inconsistent. And when you're inconsistent, it's almost like being starving and then saying, well, you know, I don't want no chicken. But you're starving. And then when you say that we need to get the finances in order, but yet you say, well, nope, that's not enough for finances. Because then someone made this argument that it costs too much, and they've never done it. So the whole concept of this seems like it brings up distorted fears, unfounded fears. I did a research of the FCC website to try to find entities, broadcast entities that have been fined for underwriting. Couldn't find one. Sure, there is one, but most of the time when you look at penalties, a plethora of them for not filing their paperwork on time and so on and so on. So I'm just real concerned that we say one thing, but it's inconsistent with the needs of the foundation. So what I would propose is that we don't, as a foundation, tie, for instance, FCC, for those of you who've never dealt with the FCC and had no reason to deal with the FCC, the FCC just don't willy-nilly fine entities when they do something. It's almost like an employer in employment law. There's steps. There's corrective action. The level of all of this is taken into consideration. So throwing this out, that we don't want high fines, and that just indicates you really don't understand how it works. And how it works is if the FCC first has to get a complaint, that's number one. They don't just go try to find a station doing something wrong. Someone from the public, whether in that entity, outside of that entity, a listener, whatever, files a complaint. Then they substantiate the complaint by allowing the entity to respond, just like employment law. And if they do find a finding and it is not willful and wanton and just outrageous, they basically tell the entity, you need to correct this. Sometimes cease and desist. Sometimes alter it to comply with the stated rules, which there really are no hard rules that the FCC has. And the proof of that, if you listen to any community radio, you listen to any national public radio, you listen to any university stations, you listen to any NPR stations, you listen to any community radio stations that are making and earning and generating more than $1 million, what you'll find is commercial, period. And it's been going on for the last 10 to 15 years. No one is proposing that. So this created fear, this boogeyman, is going to come after us, and we're going to get caught in this trap. When in fact, $3 million loan, stations like KPFT, 30,000 short, that was $30,000 raised by a effort under Dr. Kamau 3 years ago that was going pretty doggone well until Bill Crozier fired him after 3 months of employment. And this was on a volunteer basis. And a commission basis where the individual would go out and solicit business.
Dwayne, let's not get into personnel issues, and especially name people in this discussion. This is an open session.
Well, that's public knowledge anyway, so fine. But I'm giving hard facts here in terms of the scare tactics that are used and the unsubstantiated arguments that are thrown out, not having any familiarity with how the FCC operates, and we have a foundation and we have stations that are starving and been starving. And every time something comes up to create new money streams, no, we don't want to do that. But you don't have any other alternatives. It reminds me of the KPFT Finance Committee, most of the members. They're always talking about cut, cut, cut when you cut 90% of your budget from 2010. From a $1.6 million budget down to a $790,000 budget. 28 employees at that time, now 4 employees. Nothing else to cut. You got to generate yourself out of this. You can't cut yourself out of this as a station or a foundation. So when you say no, great philosopher called my dad told me, when you tear something down or you're going to say no to something, you ought to have an alternative for it if you really care. Thank you.
Okay. Lawrence?
Okay, I'm not on mute. So let me just make myself clear to my brother James. I am against underwriting. But the point is that I'm speaking against postponing the discussion that we're now having anyway. So that's a good thing. But I just know that in some form, underwriting is being done, pseudo underwriting or whatever you want to call it, quasi, or whatever you want to call it. It is being done. I could mention my home station as an example that has engaged in some form of underwriting and still is promoting a lot of entities that provide premiums to the station and all of that. So what I'm simply saying is this: we either shit or get off the pot. The bottom line is that we have no policy. We have no way of dealing with an encroachment that may happen as a result of some stations doing some form of underwriting or some form of promoting and in exchange getting premiums for that. So I just want to be able to make myself clear to my brother James in regards to where I stand. I simply think that we need to have a policy or some kind of formula, whether we're going to do it or we're not going to do it. This way we could be clear as to where we stand as a network, and this way we could also provide some form of navigation to the stations that some who may be doing it consciously or unconsciously or pseudo or quasi, whatever, it needs to be addressed, and it's not been addressed over the years, and yet it has been an elephant that has crowded us for moving around in the room. So that's why I'm not saying that don't feel well when James would characterize my position as all of a sudden I'm coming to the light. Brother, I stay in the light. And, you know, the point is I see things clearly. We have to either get off the pot or do whatever it is that we have to do. We need a policy. This way we could inform our station as to how to deal with promotion, how to deal with promoting community orgs and all of that that could possibly lead to adverse action towards our direction. So I hope that I make myself clear to my brother James. Thank you, Alex.
James for the stack.
Lyndon for the stack.
Let me say something again here. I am not particularly concerned that if we allow some kind of underwriting that we will immediately get into trouble with the FCC. That's not the issue as far as I'm concerned. I think we're capable of controlling the kind of underwriting we do so that we do not violate FCC regulations. What I'm concerned with is this going to make any money or is this going to lose money? I'm not convinced this is a money maker at all. It may be, which is why I propose that we have a pilot program of a very restricted form of underwriting and try it at one of our stations, see how it goes. But I'm also aware that we have, in fact, an underwriting program already in place. They don't call it that, but that's essentially what it is, at KPFK, and that program, from what I understand, has been losing money. So it's not at all a question that
this is a potential source of income that we're throwing away. I don't know that this is a potential source of income. It may be, but I'm not convinced at this point. So that's another reason I'd like to postpone the discussion. And the other reason I try to explain is, even if it is a source of income, it's never going to be a major source of income. At most, it will be a very minor source of income. And we have some really big priorities to consider right now. So let me just remind you where we're at in terms of where this discussion stands. There was an original motion that I put before the committee for a very restricted form of underwriting. Then there was an amendment offered by Mr. Lark for, let's say, a less restricted form of underwriting. And then there was a motion to postpone the discussion. Now, we came back here tonight. We're continuing that postponed discussion, and Grace made a motion to postpone the discussion again. And I think we've actually had about a 30-minute discussion on this topic. So when everybody's finished talking, we're just going to go to a vote. The vote's going to be first whether we postpone the discussion. If we postpone it, that's that. If we don't postpone it, then we have to vote on Duane's amendment to my motion, and then we vote on the main motion. Okay, Jim, go ahead.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Okay. Did you already speak on this, James?
I have spoken on it, yes.
I'd ask for the stack also.
Well, if you have not spoken, please go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Alex, of course. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Duane, yes, I do agree with you on a lot of your points. I supported, I believe, in my vote last time we talked about this, to have an underwriting program. I know that in Houston, in normal times, it would work very well because we're promoting shows day and night. Well, not day and night, but a lot. Our music programmers are always promoting a venue, and it would be nice. I've always thought, hey, it would be nice if those people could pony up a few bucks because they're getting a lot of play from KPFT. And I also am not afraid of the FCC. I made a decision many, many years ago to not be afraid of the IRS either, you know. Yeah, there's not, well, you know, well, as long as you try to do right, you know, but you can't, I don't want to live in fear of the IRS like I almost did when I was in my 20s. And so I take that view pretty much with the FCC. Duane's right. Somebody's got to report you. We don't have enough government. Believe me, I'm sure the Republicans have cut back on any, you know, regulations and people, the FCC. So, I'm not worried about that. And, but right now, I, you know, don't think we could put in Houston. I don't think we have the personnel right now, during the pandemic and stuff to do it. But I do think it's a good idea, and I wouldn't mind being ready for it. Now, of course, we have to come up with a definition of who those people are, which we were talking about. I think Alex wanted to eliminate corporations, but as Duane pointed out, you know, LLCs and S-Corps and stuff are, you know, going to be the majority of the people you're dealing with. Nobody wants, if you go into business as a sole proprietorship, you get your butt sued off. So
here.
There's that. That's my 2 cents.
Vanessa to the staff.
Okay, we haven't heard from you yet. Go ahead.
Okay, so I don't think there's really a way to determine if we think it'll make money or how much money we think it'll make until we take the time to talk about it. I think it's unfortunate that all this time we spent on whether to postpone it or not could have been spent having, furthering a productive discussion about it.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, I had requested the stack. James?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that, first of all, about the FCC, I don't pretend to be an expert on the FCC, but I do know that at WBAI, we've had people, plural, call the FCC and make complaints about things going on. I understand that in other areas there have been actual people suggesting that people write to the FCC and make complaints. This is like internal politics, but people are encouraging members of Pacifica to go and complain to the FCC about this issue or that issue. So it's not like we don't have, you know, people who aren't willing to do that for whatever political, however you want to describe their motivations. There are people here within our own organization who would be willing to do that, let alone people who might find a violation on the outside. And then I want to say that we do have people now, people, entities, who are making great advantage from our airwaves. And I would like to find better ways to get some income from that. I mean, all the premiums, authors, book sales, all kinds of things that we do, you know, whether it be vitamins or healthcare products, whatever. Lots of entities make a lot of money out of what we do with premiums during our fund drives, and it would be nice to find some way to get a better handle on that. So, you know, that's something that I would certainly be interested in talking about. And as to Lawrence, I want to say that, Lawrence, I did not mean to criticize you when I thought, you were opening up to more discussion. I'm going to say to you and to the rest of the committee that I'm leaning against underwriting because despite the fact that some don't think we have a brand because we're too small, to me, the reason I've always been interested in Pacifica is even before we had the democratically run organization, we had the free speech and we had the no commercials, and that appeals to me. It means a lot to me that we could have an entity that doesn't take money from corporations and operates itself as a public corporation by voting of its members. We're controlled by our workers and our members, and that is significant to me, and I want to prove to the world that we can do that and make it work. So that's important to me. Finally, I also just want to add that we've talked a lot about starving and finding a way to get away from starving. And one thing that is known about people that are starving, if you feed them too much too soon, they die. And so I am still concerned about the possibility of difficulties if we do something that's not well thought out and not well planned and does not have the people. Dwayne, I would appreciate if you would just, keep control of your comments while I'm speaking.
I haven't made a comment.
Well, I've heard some...
So you can keep on speaking and just go on with your comments, because I haven't made a comment.
Well, I heard some laughter and some undertones. Maybe it wasn't you.
Hey,
I apologize
please,
if it wasn't you.
Let's stop this forced discussion and let's stop addressing other members.
All right. So the bottom line is I'm still concerned that we may not have the personnel, we may not have the ability to focus on this right now in order to do it well, understanding all the other things that we have to do. And that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Alex, I have an amendment to Grace's motion.
We have to go to a vote. Everybody's had.
Why do we have to go to a vote? You hadn't closed.
Because everybody's had their two turns at bat, and we have to go to a vote. So we vote first on the motion to postpone. And Grace, can you clarify, is that to postpone for how long?
Alex, point of order.
He's going out of bounds again.
Point of order, Alex, this is Lawrence.
What is the point of order?
Isn't it in order for somebody, for a member of a committee, to amend a motion if they're so inclined to do so? And
well, if you want to But he could have done it when he had the floor. He was recognized twice. We're not.
Well, maybe he was getting. Maybe he was developing his amendment.
That is such a weak.
I think it would be in good faith to listen to the amendment, Chair.
What are the other committee members think? Do you want to do this?
But that's not going
that
to. Oh,
not the proper way for the chair to operate.
Let me see if anyone objects. Okay, if no one's objecting, I'll make an exception and let you go ahead and make an amendment. Go ahead,
oh,
please.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. My amendment is that we postpone this item until the next meeting, because her postponement for 2 or 3 months on the face of it is killing it. So my amendment is to postpone the discussion until the next meeting.
Okay, well, that's a valid amendment.
Okay, point of personal privilege.
Well, if you had to let me get it, to be honest.
Okay, what is your point of personal privilege, Grace?
I suggested postponing this for 1 or 2 months.
That's not clear enough.
Okay, but he's allowed to amend your motion to postpone,
okay.
Which is what he said.
Well, but I wanted to be clear and make it clear. Dwayne just misstated.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chair, 1 or 2 months is no clarity. You can't make a motion saying 1 or 2 months.
Hey, let's end this discussion. Let's just go to a vote.
And, Chair, is that to the next meeting?
We have an amendment to postpone till the next meeting. So,
thank you.
Okay, do we have objections to that amendment?
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay, so there's no objection. Okay, so that amendment passes, so now we have to vote on the postponement itself. Are there any, essentially we're voting on the same thing again. Are there any objections to postponing the underwriting discussion until the next meeting?
Mr. Chair, point of order.
What is your point of order?
Well, first off, the amendment nullified the amendment to the original motion nullified the motion, because in effect the members have agreed to postpone it until next week, the next meeting. So to go and make another vote on postponement is inconsistent with what the body has already willed.
No, I'm following Robert's rules, Mr. Lark. If you make an amendment and the amendment passes, then you vote on the main motion as amended. The main motion as amended is now.
If the amendment is inconsistent, Robert Rule says, if the amendment is inconsistent or nullifies the original motion, you don't vote on it. Takes precedent. That's what Robert Rule says.
If you're going to tell me what Robert's Rule says, then I expect you to give me the citation. Since you're not giving me the citation.
Well, you give me the citation.
It
works
not.
Both ways. Give us the citation of what your argument is.
I have a point of order.
Point of information,
Grace.
What is your point of information?
Okay. Dwayne's amendment was actually a substitute motion.
Right, and that becomes the main
motion. Okay, and what happens with Robert's rules is that first you make you vote on the substitute motion, then you vote on the main motion as the substitute. We're not voting on my main motion. We're voting on your substitute motion. First, it has to be the amendment has to be accepted, and then it becomes the main motion, and then that has to be voted on.
Right, it's the main motion now, right?
It's the main motion now. Mine is gone, okay?
The main motion is that to postpone the discussion till the next meeting. That's the main motion.
Right. That's the main motion. Okay.
I was asking if there are any objections to that. Since there are no objections, this discussion is postponed until the next meeting. And
We need to begin the discussion on a strategic plan.
Alex, you're breaking up. James?
You're breaking up with another. No.
Point of personal privilege.
We need to begin the discussion on a strategic plan. I sent you all some documents, and I don't know if you had a chance to look at them yet, but we do have some critical issues coming up in a relatively short period of time, and we have to seriously begin to work on a strategic plan. So who would like to lead the discussion?
Chair, I have an amendment. I'd like to have a couple of amendments, Chair.
We don't have a motion to amend. what is it you have an amendment for?
It's in regards to the proposal that was sent out about an hour ago. That Gray sent to the committee?
Well, that's just sort of ruminations. It's not a motion.
Well, it's a proposal. It's being put forward as a plan?
Well,
as a discussion for a plan?
It's not been introduced in this meeting. It was background. If Grace wants to introduce it as a motion, that's her privilege, but I have not heard that.
Okay, well,
can I respond, please?
Sure.
I just wanted to open the discussion with some suggestions for some things that I thought should be in a strategic plan. No, I'm not putting, I don't think it's complete. I think we need to discuss it and add things to it, take things away,
okay.
Whatever, reword.
Okay. Well, that's because what I see here is, I'm sorry, Chair, may I be recognized?
Yes, sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you. So what I see is that this was presented as an outline. So it does. Are you saying that this outline means to have a discussion and to add stuff and give input? What is your intent when you propose this as an outline?
Yeah, to open up discussion.
Okay.
I also sent a couple of documents to begin a discussion. They're not motions in any sense.
Okay. Well, I'd like to address the document or the outline that I received. I have not received yours, Chair. Maybe you send them prior to this meeting, but I did not receive it. As well as not receiving the agenda. But if I could be given the floor, I could provide some input into the proposed outline.
And if you're going to discuss Grace's outlines, then maybe Grace should first read her outline so people know what we're talking about.
Sure. Okay. That's fair.
Okay. Grace, you want to do that? Hello? Grace, do you want to read your outline?
Yeah, I had to shake myself.
This is just a discussion topic. This is not a motion.
Okay. The outline says, because of COVID-19 and unaddressed declines in listener support at all five stations, here is a suggested short-term plan to keep Pacifica afloat. One, start immediately to make expense cuts at all stations where expenses exceed revenue. The IED should oversee this and place this as a top priority. Two, ensure the budgeting process is moving forward and that all requests for financial information from NETA and our auditor are responded to rapidly so that the 2019 audit is completed as quickly as possible. This is important as it will make it easier to refinance the $3.2 million loan and to eventually get CPB funding restored. I'd like to add to this the comment that as a member of the audit committee, I will tell you that there were significant delays in information that was requested from NETA and from the auditor from the stations, some of the stations just were really recalcitrant in getting that information needed. And this very much delayed the 2018 audit. So, making sure that the 2019 audit gets done as quickly as possible would be in our best interest, because then we would be improve our credit rating, be eligible for grants that we're not eligible for now because our audits are not up to date, and possibly be eligible for CPB funding, which used to constitute 10% of our total income. Okay, I'll move on. 3, monitor personnel committee progress on hiring an executive director. 4, do all possible to improve programming so that it sounds better and is more compelling and interesting. 5, ensure that all of our stations become multimedia outlets, utilizing the internet and social media to expand our reach, improve our visibility, and increase our income. 6, partner with other media outlets such as online news sites and local newspapers to share resources, add more local news, and enhance our programming. 7, invest in market research and ensure that our managers are accountable to our communities and that our programming addresses the needs and interests of its current and potential listeners. 8, institute best practices so that all staff and programs are evaluated on a regular basis. 9, trim expenses carefully so that we have realistic balanced budgets. 10, begin the process of refinancing the $3.2 million remaining on the settlement loan while doing all possible to reduce the principal. Make sure the policy adopted regarding windfall income is applied so that 50% of all windfall income to Pacifica is used to pay the principal on the loan, and at least 30% of all windfall income to stations be used to pay down the principal. 11, prioritize grant and major donor funding efforts. That's it.
Okay, so that's your contribution to this discussion. Lawrence, did you want to comment?
Yeah.
You have your own.
I do.
About it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. Thank you. And thank you, Grace, for putting this forward. I'm a stickler of the process, so I think that sometimes things appear more clever than they should be. I think, you know, we should just be straight up, no chaser kind of a thing, and just put things succinctly as much as we can. I would like to add a training program for all board members, local and national, on fundraising via seeking plan giving bequests. The programming piece is too vague. That needs to be shortened up. It needs a specific point about restoring local newscasts at all stations. It needs to have a specific reference to maintaining a positive cash flow and on an every other month basis at all stations. It needs to have something about clearing up interdivisional loans and should repeat the commitment to devote a significant portion of any bequest to paying down the debt. So that's one thing. And then in regards to the partnering up with other media outlets, I'd like to suggest that we also look at developing partnerships with multimedia platforms. It's the way of the future. And so I'd like that to be included as well, because the internet, I don't think that's a sufficient plank to take hold of this and run away with it. I believe that there's many multimedia outlets, multimedia platforms that could be utilized in terms of creating some sort of partnerships with them to mitigate a lot of the expense that we are occurring as a result of broadcasting. Those are the points that I would make, and I would email this to the committee in a minute.
All right. Anybody else? All right. So let me just say a couple of things. The purpose of this discussion, I want everybody on this committee to present their own plans. I don't want to just hear a criticism of someone else's plan. Put forward your own plan. We have some.
Alex, you're breaking up. If you could, you know, try to, I don't know.
Is that any better?
That's a little bit better, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we have some immediate challenges, some more, like, let's say, midterm challenges and some long-term challenges. And I would like to find out from everybody on this committee how they think we can handle these challenges. What is your financial plan or your overall strategic plan for the recovery of Pacifica? And I put forward sort of not really a plan, but kind of a sketch of a plan that I proposed a year ago. And I also sent you all the outline of how I think we could approach such a plan when this committee was first formed and back in April of 2018. And I'm not expecting those initial formulations to work today, but I just wanted to get everybody thinking, and I would like to see everybody at the next meeting come back with their own strategic plan. That's what I was trying to start here. So who else wants to take the floor?
Lyndon for the stack.
Okay, Lyndon, go ahead.
Yes. We've had one station we're having a look at pretty closely, and I was wondering from Lydia or whoever's in charge, who is the next station and when are we going to get to that?
Well, Lydia can answer that, but
it would seem that this would be part of the plan, that we have to get through these and we have to get through them rather quickly.
Well, okay, but this is not exactly the topic we're discussing, but I, you know, if Lydia is
well, yes, it is. It is. It's making expense cuts at all stations where expenses exceed revenue. That's exactly what we're talking about. Number one, right there.
A strategic plan encompasses a lot more than making expense cuts. But sometimes those are necessary. I certainly agree with that. Lydia, did you want to say anything?
No, I think our public meetings have articulated the need to both make cuts and grow income. And I think that things are moving along, I think, kind of, you know, late and as usual, slowly. But I've seen more progress on these fronts than I have over the years that I've been with Pacifica.
Well, I was asking, you had said you wanted to go through each station and look at each station.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I support that. And so after the station that we are currently looking at, who is the next station and when will that happen?
KPFT.
Okay, and do you have a timeline for that?
Well, it will be as soon as we can get through the... we finished with KPFK, but that doesn't slow anything down with the plan for KPFT. And some of those things I can't discuss in open session, but because they're proprietary, it's not personnel. In general terms, we know some of the issues, of course, which have to do with the physical state of the station itself. And the possibility of having other options in terms of moving the station. There's a lot to be said for during this time, what we can possibly take into consideration that we couldn't have before. And I say that because of COVID-19. I can't apply what happens in LA properties, for example, to Houston, and yet the overlay is the same. And so there are two things that can go on with the station. We can invest a great deal to bring that property up, because besides COVID, there are other issues with station, and we have to make sure the staff is safe and so on and so forth in order to have kind of the vibrant fundraising efforts and things that are weighing down all of the stations, right? So, but anyway, so there's that. But I don't have a precise timetable, but they should be working on it right now. And as I said, everyone, each one of the stations have a ways to go. With KPFT, the issue is also, as is true with KPFK, is that even if we can catch up with our CPB, what am I calling? I'm so tired right now. anyway, and we can get back into the good graces of CPB. We were still, KPFT and KPFK, were still ineligible to get the larger grant that we used to get because of our listenership. So with KPFT, there has to be, it's kind of different. It's not different. It's part and parcel. As I said, you can cut expenses, but you have to grow not just income, but the listeners, which is, of course, part of the income, too. But even once we're eligible to receive CPB again, station by station, it differs because of the decline in listenership. And you really have to look at it through a different lens now. Podcasting is wildly popular. And what podcasting has done is it's brought back kind of the old way of going back and listening to radio, which is of course what we do. But culturally, for this other generation, now they're very accustomed to sound rather than the sound and visual, which I think all of it is necessary. By the way, I happen to be a visual person, but nevertheless. The point is that there is significant potential there, but we really have to also seriously look at at our programming. And it's our programming and how to drive people to the programming. I was just listening to the difference between the few promos that we do in general at the stations versus what we were discussing earlier with Bolina. Bolina just sent me the three versions of, the promos for the COVID-19 race and COVID and democracy promos. And, there's a huge difference between someone who is more accustomed to a different demographic, a younger demographic, in terms of its audience, and the way that promo is developed. So, an excellent promo, as they have been when they come from someone like Bolina, who's many, many years, if not decades, younger than myself, and that listening audience, what catches the attention, right? Because what we don't do, we don't promote ourselves. And so even if we had, and we do, we have good, obviously, good informative programming, but we don't know how to drive audiences to us. So it's very multi-level. It's beyond just the cuts. One of the ones that she has is specific to KPFT, for example. And but anyway, so there you go. So when we look at each station, it has to be both. It's not just the cuts.
Vanessa to the staff.
Yes, Vanessa.
So So I presume this is a very, very general outline. So even having said that, I have a question about number one and number four. And number one says, start immediately to make expense cuts at all stations where expenses exceed revenue, and the IED should oversee this in place. This is a top priority. So does that mean, in terms of where make expense cuts where expenses exceed revenue, is that looking at the entire budget and saying at the station the expenses exceed revenue, therefore we need to make general cuts, or is it saying in these particular budget items expenses exceed revenue, therefore we need to make cuts in these areas? And in terms of the IED overseeing this, it makes me a little nervous because I don't know if oversee means make final decisions or if oversee means to coordinate. Because it's just, you know, from the perspective of someone coming from a particular station, seeing in years past decisions that were made from on high that were, viewed by some as draconian and not in the best interest of the station. So that's about number one. And then I have a question about number four, but if you wouldn't mind answering about number one.
Can I respond to that,
to the track.
Alex?
Go ahead,
Grace.
Yeah. Okay, the National Board passed a resolution mandating a 30% cut in expenses, a minimum 30% cut in expenses at KPFK, because our shortfall is huge. And this year, I think it's 34. Our listener support, our income has declined by 34%. So now our income is way lower than our expenses. So we're in peril of not being able to make our own our payroll. And because KPFK, our general budget, our fiscal year 19 total revenue and expenses was $3.8 million, and because our central service payments are very large, it's really very frightening when KPFK starts to lose money to this extent, because it's perilous to the rest of the network. In that motion also, there was a mandate for other stations that have expenses exceeding revenue to also make expense cuts. Of course, that would be up to the station, the business manager, the finance committee, and the general manager to figure out what to cut. The cuts could be in operating expenses, but also payroll. Often the operating expenses are fixed and can't be reduced that much. So it can happen that the bulk of the cuts need to be in payroll, unfortunately. The situation is such that we do not have any extra money to make up for these shortfalls. So once a station gets to the point where it can't meet the payroll, that was the reason used for shutting down WBAI. It happened to be false in regard to WBAI, but we can forecast that in the near future, if things don't change radically at KPFK, and if this 30% reduction in expenses is not carried out, that KPFK will not only not be able to make its central service payments, but will also not be able to meet payroll. And there will, and that's a really, really bad thing. So we're trying to avert that. It's a very difficult time, very difficult. And these are measures that are that nobody desires. They're painful, and they just have to be done if we want to continue to exist. We can't go into bankruptcy, because there are bankruptcy clauses in the loan, the $3.2 million loan. If we go into bankruptcy, our buildings will be foreclosed on. And I don't think anybody wants that to happen. So we have to, we cannot sink. We have to swim. So that, does that answer your question, Vanessa?
About number one, yes. So basically in terms of the IED should oversee, you would be working in coordination with the GM, who basically would be saying, I recommend this, that, and the other.
And then you can speak up.
Yes.
You're breaking
I'm sorry.
Of
course, the National Board and the National Finance Committee is also working in coordination with this, but this is a management task. It's the duty of the managers at the station and the IED to implement these reductions in expenses across the network.
Okay, I said, because I wanted to make sure to ask my second question. With regard to number four, it says, do all possible to improve programming so that it sounds better and is more compelling and interesting? So so that it sounds better is like, so I'm just trying to, I mean, the markets are so different. So how on earth would that be achieved and kind of what does that mean?
Can I respond, Mr. Chair?
Let me just jump in here for a minute.
I can just say one sentence.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. That item probably needs to be expanded upon. So I wouldn't take it too seriously. I'm not trying to have this suggestion be voted on tonight or anything. It's just simple way to say we have to improve our programming. As Lydia mentioned, KPFK, we lost our Corporation for Public Broadcast funding 1 year before the rest of the network because the CPB felt that our listenership was so low, we didn't warrant funding.
Mm.
So, it behooves all of us across. This isn't to say that each station has to figure out how to make programming improvement, but this is really important. If the programming does not meet the needs of our potential listeners and our current listeners, the stations will not be supported.
Okay, folks, we're out of time. I just wanted to get it.
Chair.
You can vote on a motion to extend, but I'm not going to be able to participate.
I have to get off also.
I have to go. So.
Can we continue? Yeah. Can we postpone this outline to the next meeting?
Well,
I have questions.
That's the idea. This is just the beginning of the discussion. Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway, it's food for thought. I did send out my own versions of these kind of suggestions. Mine are kind of dated. I tried to explain that. I just wanted to get everybody thinking about this, and I'd like to see, ideally, everybody come in with their own proposals next time after you've had a chance to read what's out there and reflect on it. Anyway, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Chair, can I just add to you, 1 second, can I just ask you to send me those documents to my L. Reyes address? Because I did not receive your documents.
Okay,
please
send
them
to the one I usually use for you. Okay.
No, that email address is compromised. It's not working well.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, so if there's no objections, we're adjourned, folks.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you all. Good night.